Hey KU fans, welcome back to another episode of the KU Sports Hour here at KUSports.com. I'm your host today, Matt Tate, and I'm joined by my main man. Did you know that?
Is that just because I'm the only other person in the room?
Well, right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, don't get too excited. Don't get too excited. But today, right now, in this moment, you are my main man. For those of you who didn't recognize the voice, that's Benton Smith over there. Benton, say hello. Let's do a little formal introduction instead of that informal business.
Yeah, I am Benton Smith. I'm the warm body next to you with a functioning voice box that's able to communicate back and forth with you. So, yeah, you just pulled me away from my desk and you're like, let's talk KU basketball. And I was like, wait, what is that?
Right, right. It's been, over a month now since the end of the season?
Has it really?
Yeah, we've done a couple of podcasts where we kind of looked back at the season that was. We obviously graded ourselves because our egos are enormous on our preseason predictions.
We got grades on those?
Yeah, I'm still doing it. I'm still revisiting my preseason predictions. I got called out by my man Bryson Stricker today for giving myself a 2.5 out of 3 on the Malik Newman one, on the he will, he won't, he might stuff.
Uh-huh.
But he was right. I mean, it was a total oversight. I only deserved 2. I only meant to put 2. I pulled it off a template that had 2.5, forgot to change it. You know, real buttoned up stuff right there. So regardless of whether I was called out or whether I deserved to be, it was accurate. I only deserved 2 out of 3.
That's
for those.
That's like 66% by my math.
Felt good. If I was shooting three-pointers, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah, true.
If I was schooling or going through scholastic measures,
not so good.
Not so good. No. But what do they say, Benton? D is for...
defense?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. We better leave it there. There could be kids listening, for goodness sakes. Well, let's get to it in case there are kids listening or anyone listening that would rather listen to that than us talking about all that nonsense. You know, there's a lot, even though the season's over, even though it is fully the off season now, there's a lot going on with this program. Whether you're talking about guys in the NBA draft, the draft combine's coming up in a couple of weeks, or obviously the FBI stuff, or recruiting stuff. You know, there's a lot going on still. So let's start with the combine and all of that stuff. Obviously, Udoka Azubuike is the biggest topic for KU right now, right? Because all those other guys are gone, and they're not coming back.
Right, yeah. He's the only one who's still in flux for
right.
this situation.
Right.
And it was kind of in question whether or not he would get that invite. So it's interesting that he did.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, based on ESPN stuff, he's not necessarily like a top 60 type of talent, and I don't think anybody's compiled the total list yet, but it's generally around 70.
Yeah,
is what I was reading.
Yeah, I heard this year it could be 60.
Okay,
maybe 65, but you know, a little lower than years past. You're right, and I mean, part of the reason they do that is because they have to see all these guys. You can't have 150
right.
guys there.
Right.
Right. It's what, 4 days. So, you know, it is a pretty big, I don't know if you call it an honor, but it's a pretty big deal if you get that invite, because it obviously puts you firmly on the radar. It gives you not only the chance to know, hey, they're interested in me, but it gives you a chance to go there, work out, perform, interview, network, whatever you have to do. It puts you in that position. And by the way, they pay for it. I mean, the NBA flies you up there. They put you up in a hotel in Chicago. They want to make this something where it's, you know, you're really going to work for them. And obviously giving them your best foot forward. It's sort of your resume over 4 days.
Yeah, and obviously they're not just throwing these invites out for fun. They don't want to waste their own time.
Right.
So they're not going to invite you if they don't care about you as a prospect.
Sure.
It's going to have a really... really quite a KU feel, I guess. If there are like 60 guys, potentially, what?
10% of them
10%
could be KU. Yeah right.
I mean, Vic's an alternate, right?
Vic's an alternate, but Graham and Svi and Malik and Udoka and then Billy Preston, too, invited to the combine. So that's 6 guys if Vic ends up making it, which... you know, I don't know. I mean, that ends up coming down to injuries or guys, you know, pulling out or not feeling like they need to do it or want to do it or getting advised otherwise. So it's, I mean, everything in life is probably 50-50, you flip a coin, but it's probably truly 50-50 for whether Vic gets that.
Yeah, and you never know, like, how they would rate. Obviously, they have a list of alternates,
yeah,
which we don't know.
Right.
But, I mean, who knows where they have Vic on that list? True. Because they're going to, obviously, they're going to rank it. Like, who do we want to be the first guy?
Some guy gets hurt. Who's the next guy we want to see the most?
Yeah, so like, we don't know where Vic is in those
right,
regards.
Right, right. Yeah, where do you think?
I don't know, because, I mean, I wish the NBA would just, and I think they will eventually put out the full list and maybe even some alternates.
Yeah.
But I feel like that usually comes out in May, like a few days beforehand.
It's very weird how this whole thing ends up becoming like, I don't know that it's secretive necessarily, but it is sort of like a pulling teeth to find out who got invited, not just at Kansas, you know, that's our job to find out. Yeah. But also, you're right, I would love to see the full list and I would love to see it versus, you know, all at once versus having to kind of follow this Twitter account to see that this guy from this school got picked and you know, piece it all together that way. Maybe that's laziness, I don't know, but it's just intrigue. I think it's just, there's a lot of intrigue around who are the other guys up there. And you're right. I, if it were me and I were deciding who to invite, I think I would invite Vic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not surprised they didn't. I'll say that. But the guy can shoot the ball. He's got terrific athleticism. He's got good size. You know, for guard size in the NBA at that two guard spot, 6'5" is getting it done. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
He obviously needs to work on his body and consistency and his handles and all of those things, which I'm sure he's doing maybe as we speak. I mean, that's the whole point of this thing. The next month and a half for these guys is you know, put your best foot forward and make somebody have to take you. Don't just hope they do. Make them look at you and go, man, we got to have that guy. So I think he's got enough of the measurables that would make me at least want to talk to him, at least want to see him and do it in that environment against, you know, they scrimmage and they obviously do combine type stuff, fun to watch drills and things of that nature. But you know, they also scrimmage and I think you get a chance to see them play against other draft stock. I think that's hugely invaluable. So.
Yeah, and I wonder how they'll structure it as far as, like, I don't think they ask everybody to go up and down in 5-on-5.
Right.
I think they have certain guys that they ask to do that and others that they don't.
Yep.
I would guess that all the KU guys would be the ones they want to see actually play, though. You know, I feel like it's usually those guaranteed lottery picks. They're like,
there's no home runs, right? Yeah.
And those guys usually don't want to play because they don't want to be exposed in any
no exposure, way, shape, or form. No risk of injury, all that. But yeah, you think about a guy like Frank Mason. I mean, he played a ton at the combine in those scrimmages, and that was because everyone wanted to see him. I mean, this was the reigning college player of the year, a guy who had plenty to like, but there were also some questions, big questions.
Yeah.
And so I think the more they wanted him to see him, and you know, his whole pre-draft experience was like that. It was exhausting for that dude. He went everywhere. He flew everywhere. He worked out everywhere. And he had to. He had no choice but to say, "Yep, I'll be there. Yep, I'll be there." Because he still had to prove to people and convince people that he was worth drafting. And he did that. He got picked fairly high. And had a pretty damn good rookie year, really. I mean, a couple of injuries here and there, but overall, I don't think he could ask for better.
Yeah, I think when you're kind of projected as a second-round pick, that's just your reality for that month to 6 weeks. Just like you're going from city to city, and you're playing against other draft hopefuls, and you're trying to show that you're better than them, and you're trying not to get shown up by anybody. I think that the next few weeks are probably going to be a lot like that for Graham and for Newman and Svi.
Yep.
I don't know if there will be as much demand for Preston, but possibly, because, I mean, he was a McDonald's All-American and there's not a lot of video on him.
Right.
You're going to want to see him in person.
Right. Yeah.
He has that big frame.
And athletic. Talk to him, too, yeah, right? I mean, he's got enough, you know, all of the reasons that he sat out the season and left early and went over to Bosnia and then now... with his not name but his identity, if you will, being you know, referenced perhaps in that FBI indictment. I mean, there's some things you want to ask him.
Yeah.
I would think, and most of that stuff's probably pretty irrelevant to the NBA. It's not about eligibility there, right? So I don't think they're worried about that. But you still, character's a big part of drafting guys. It's and for some teams bigger than others, right? I mean, some teams like the Spurs, you know, they know the type of guy they're going to draft, and they know that guy, even if he's not an A-plus in terms of character, well, when he gets there, he's either going to be or he's going to be gone.
Right.
Right? But there are some teams that need to draft based on character, to change the culture, to bring some fresh light into this program or whatever it is. So that's something that, beyond just Billy's physical tools, which people surely want to see. I agree with you that there's no doubt about that. But they also are going to want to, you know, talk to him and just find out what's his story. And I think that's probably, you know, I know that's a big part of the NFL combine, and I think that's becoming a bigger part of this NBA thing. Just these interviews, they're so important. And do you remember last year when Frank Mason got asked how he would like to die or something?
What
ridiculous?
Was that about?
Yeah, that was absurd. And then he killed it, no pun intended, with just the best possible answer, that he would like to die in his sleep because, you know, painless and all of that stuff. I mean, I don't know if that was the intent of the question, was to find out, okay, we're going to you with something so ridiculous and see how you react to it. And then the fact that he kept himself composed and gave a pretty good answer, maybe that was all they were looking for. But, yeah, a weird, weird question. And you know, these things wouldn't be that without it. You know, there's some very obvious and straightforward stuff, and then there's some off-the-wall stuff like that too.
Yeah, I wonder how much demand there will be for Udoka, for teams wanting Udoka to come visit their facility and work out and interview and all that stuff. I feel like there might be more for Preston, just because this is his only option.
Yeah.
You know, Udoka, I don't know if people, maybe some teams would assume that he won't be coming back, or maybe somebody like falls in love with his video and lets him know, hey, we would take you in the second round.
Right.
And all of a sudden, KU's season looks very different next
year. Yeah, very different. I agree. I think, you know, it's hard to know, and that's what obviously going to try to do in the next few weeks is try to get in touch with some of these people that are maybe making these types of decisions and things like that. But I think based on his film and from the season, the overwhelming majority of people in the league believe, okay, he's probably not draftable yet.
Yeah.
So it's up to him, and I think he's doing a great thing testing. It's up to him to go up and change their minds. They probably can see that in those 4 days in Chicago, right?
Right.
Whether he changes their minds enough in those 4 days will determine, now do the Lakers want him to come out and visit? Now do the Bulls have him back to Chicago to take a closer look and more of a, you know, an isolated examination of what he is, what his potential is, things like that. So my guess is he'll do fine there, but I don't think he'll wow anybody. I don't think he'll blow anybody away. And then you get to that point of, okay, so probably he's not getting a lot of phone calls. Probably he's not getting a lot of that attention for follow-up visits and workouts and things like that. And if that happens, then maybe that decision to come back or not, whatever he decides, maybe it comes sooner than the last day. When he asked to pull out by May 30th, and Speedy last year took it to the very, I mean, 11th hour. I mean, it was the day of and the evening of when he made his announcement. So I don't know that we're destined to have that same sort of thing with Udoka, but part of me thinks maybe.
Yeah.
And the reason I think that is because I think this guy wants to go. I don't think he's testing just for the information.
Right, right.
I think he wants to go. I think if there is a team out there that will say, hey, we'll take you in the second round, I think he would say, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
That's good for me. That's not because he doesn't like KU. That's not because he doesn't like college. But this is what this guy wants to do. And if you can start your career now with a more or less a guarantee from a team saying we'll draft you, man, that's less of a gamble than coming back and having to work to improve and hope you don't get hurt again. This is a guy who's been hurt both of his seasons of college basketball so far. So I think there's a lot there, and I think that's definitely why he's the most interesting of those six for KU. Because like you said, if he doesn't come back, their season looks a lot different, their lineup looks a lot different, and it'll be interesting. If he does, they're loaded, they're preseason number one in a lot of people's eyes. rightfully so, probably. I mean, they will have a deep and talented roster. But yeah, that's going to be wild. I think the next couple of weeks are huge for Udoka in that regard. And then, you know, I just think that as much as Svi and Graham and Malik, even they're gone, and KU fans don't have to have this hope of man, maybe they'll come back, you know, like they are with right. Udoka, I'm sure. There's still that connection to those guys, right? I mean, this is a trio that led them to the Final Four. This is a guy in Devonte Graham, and really Svi for that matter, that was a fan favorite his whole time here, a real connection for 4 years with this fan base. And, you know, those people fell in love with these dudes. And so as much as they won't be devouring every ounce and every second of the combine to see and wonder and do it from that fan standpoint of sort of, we've got to know information. Are they coming back or not? I think people are going to be paying attention to it just because they love those guys and they're rooting for them and they want to see them get drafted. So what do you think? You know, mock drafts don't have any of them in the first round.
Right.
There have been times where Svi and Graham have both been knocking on the door of the first round. Throughout the last year, really.
Yeah.
I don't.
With Graham generally higher, though, right?
Yeah. And to me, I don't think that's crazy. But I'm telling you, man, I think Svi would be a great draft pick for any team. I don't know if you want to take him. You don't want to take him too high, obviously. But if I'm 28, 29, somewhere in that range, it'd be hard to pass on him.
Yeah. It depends on what a team's looking for, obviously, but. I think with all of these guys, I bet that they'll end up being like highly sought after, but teams will kind of like hope they can like maybe trade up to the top of the second round to get one of them or that sort of thing. That way there's not as much money guaranteed
right.
and you can really feel like you got a steal. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all, especially with Graham and Svi, if they really just wow a lot of teams and all of a sudden they're a lot more... There's a lot more interest in them than there seems to be entering this whole thing at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know what? These guys, it's pretty wild because they are, especially these four-year guys, they are what they are for 4 years. They get better. Obviously, both of those guys did throughout their Kansas careers, but they were still kind of the same player. You knew what you were going to get. You knew how they were going to play for the most part. And then they have this break from the end of their season, their senior season, to basically the draft, but certainly to the combine, where they really don't have to do anything but work. They work out, they work on their game, they take care of their bodies. I think the improvement that comes in that short stretch is enormous sometimes. I mean, you know, and with others, maybe not, like an Andrew Wiggins or a Josh Jackson, those guys are top five picks off the charts already.
Yeah.
You don't see the improvement as much, but with Graham and Svi and some of these guys, I think they realize, especially the mature dudes like that, they realize, like, hey, we can put in some time now. This can start to be our job. And, man, when you work out 10 hours a day, you can make things happen. You can get results. That's what I hear anyway. I'm still striving for 10 minutes a day. And you know, even in 10 minutes you can get results. But I think that's a big part of it too. I mean, it's pretty cool to see – you know, from that last game or that last couple of weeks of the season when we saw them and kind of knew the ins and outs of what they were all about to when you see them playing at the combine scrimmages and stuff like that, you kind of get that, wow, he looks different or he looks bigger or, you know, things like that really sort of jump out. And I think that's fun. I think that just tells you, you know, how serious these guys take this and how much they put into it. It's their freaking dream, right? And why wouldn't you put all you have into it?
I wouldn't be surprised, too, if Devonte Graham's stock is helped most just by the interview process.
Yeah.
He has such a great personality, has the perfect attitude you would want out of a point guard. I mean, he's not going to come in assuming anything. He's just a great guy to have around your team. And he's going to impress a lot of people. And I mean, that's going to make, if the talent is already there and then they see the personality and what he could bring to your team's culture,
sure.
I think he's going to become much more valuable to a lot of teams. And then Svi with his shooting, like, was it the Celtics last year that he went to a workout for them and hit 85 threes out of 100 or something?
85 of 100.
And that's insane.
Insane. I mean, and you know, I challenge anyone right now that's listening to go shoot 100 free throws.
Right.
And see how many you make. And... you know, do it with a couple of people rebounding for you and just firing the ball back to you. You know, don't take your time and take 2 hours to do it.
Right.
This was NBA three-pointers, and this was a guy who, I mean, you're getting up shots at a rapid rate, and he made 85 of them. Now, no hand in your face, no right. defense, no challenge on the shot. That helps.
still, you know, but 85.
Still, I
think he's. You got to say he's a better shooter now than he was a year ago.
Bingo.
So he's going to light it up at these workouts. And I think that's going to why he's going to end up being a top of the second round.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
Just like Graham. I mean, well, maybe like you said, maybe somebody falls in love with one of them and just snags him at the end of the first round.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't bet much on it mm-hmm. at all, just because, you know, these things, as everybody knows, the draft is based so much on upside and potential and things like that, and with these two guys especially, you kind of know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And you like it. There's a lot to like, but there's also not like, man, I've got a hit on this guy because he could blow up. I don't know that any of these KU guys are gonna blow up. Maybe Preston. Really, I mean, like I think his potential,
his highest ceiling,
exactly, like, yeah, okay. that could get him drafted. I don't know, would you find it crazy if Billy Preston was the first KU player taken in the draft?
I would, but it's just because, like, I feel like in the past year, he's just been so far off the radar
yeah.
of, like, anybody who keeps up with, you know, tracking
right.
draft status and stock and stuff. He's just, like, been out of the conversation completely.
Right.
Now
and that's the problem. There's a yeah. ton of prospects.
Right.
There are a ton of dudes, something like 135
yeah.
Early entries. Just early entries.
That's right. Not including seniors, not including
Euros.
Players.
Right, yeah. yeah. So that's tough when there's only 60 slots.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, Graham and Svi get drafted. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay. Preston?
I don't know.
Don't know?
Yeah. Right now I would say no.
Would say no.
But who knows? If he has
yeah.
a good couple of weeks and
right.
goes well at the combine, it could change dramatically.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I'd probably lean that way as well. How about Malik?
I think he will.
Yeah.
I think he finished the season so strong. I think it'd be crazy for him to not just kind of ride that momentum.
Right.
Because this is what he wanted when he came to KU.
Bingo. You know?
He tried to do this out of Mississippi State, and he found out that he wasn't quite there yet. So he came to KU, trained for a year, played for a year. Now he wants to make it happen, you know? I think he's a driven guy. I think he got a lot better. And in March, he was great for Kansas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's his confidence has got to be at an all-time high, and he's got to be just riding that into these workouts and interviews. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a end of the second round pick.
Yeah, yeah, could be mid second round. I mean,
yeah.
I think you're right. Like what he does well, the NBA likes.
Yeah,
guy who can shoot. And you know, who knows? Maybe he'll go to the Celtics workout and make 86, and then he'll have bragging rights on Svi. And I don't know who your life's on the line. Which one of those two guys would you rather take a 3-pointer? Has to go in, or you're done.
Svi.
Yep.
Yeah.
My answer too.
Easy.
I mean, just unflappable.
Yeah,
he'll make it, and then he'll flash that look that he had after the Duke 3-pointer, where he just looked like he just assassinated someone, and he's happy about it. That's how he would do it. If he saved your life with a 3-pointer, that would be the look that he would give right after that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Right now, just to round it out real quick, you're of the belief that Udoka's coming back, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he won't get drafted?
Right. No, I mean, I think he's doing the smart thing. I mean, if... He has to enter this whole process knowing where he stands in the eyes of NBA general managers.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so you go and you go through the workouts and you talk to these people in person and you find out what you need to do to improve your stock. I mean, there's no losing for Udoka in this whole process.
Right. Unless he's either A, getting bad information or bad advice, or B, not listening.
Right.
To
right.
reality.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not saying he's doing either of those,
yeah.
but that's where you could get in trouble in a hurry. And we've seen it in football. We've seen it in basketball. We've seen guys get bad information, go with bad advice, and
right.
find themselves in a bad spot. Generally speaking, the idea of him not being able to hire an agent and keeping that eligibility door open, that's going to help. Because right now, the advice that he's getting is from Bill Self.
Yeah.
And so Bill Self's not going to steer him wrong. Bill Self is not his agent, but he is his coach, and he helps all of these guys through that pre-draft advisory committee, where they, you know, they have to get some information that way, and self-communicates with those guys in that regard. He also helps set up some of these workouts after the fact. Now, Graham, Svee, those guys have agents. They're taking care of it, and he doesn't have to do that. But he did that last year with Svee, and some of that is a joint effort. Some of that's the whole staff helping out, and some of that's him. And you know, if he likes a guy and he wants to put in a call to a GM and say, hey, take a look at my guy, huh? You know, that can help. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean a kid's going to get drafted, but it can help. So that is a good thing for Udoka right now, because he's not probably running the risk of listening to a bunch of outside voices and all of that. He's probably taking it in his own head, maybe talking to his family a little bit, and then also listening and following the lead of self's advice.
And I just got the impression throughout March, when the locker rooms are open and we actually get to talk to players and have kind of conversations rather than just throw questions at them as they sit at a table.
Right.
I got the sense, at least, and I wonder if you agree, that Udoka is a thoughtful guy. I mean, I like the way he carries himself.
Definitely.
I think he's serious about this. I don't think – he doesn't seem to me like to be the type of person who would hear bad information from some source that he shouldn't be listening to begin with and run with it.
Totally agree. Yeah, totally agree. I mean, you have to remember, this is a kid who came over from Nigeria all the way to the United States. I mean, at a very young age. I mean, if you're not serious about it, if that doesn't tell you that you're serious about it right there,
right.
You know, what more do you need? I think it's very clear that this kid is not planning to, you know, jeopardize his future because of a couple of, hot takes, for lack of a better word, or something like that. So it'll be interesting. But, yeah, May 12th through the 16th is the Combine in Chicago. We will not be there, but we will be tracking it on all the various outlets that are showing it and trying to get in touch with some people who are there for some feedback and that kind of stuff. Let's shift gears again real quick to the other side of that. All these guys are gone. KU has to bring in some guys to replace them.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works. They don't have to. There's no rule.
Yeah, that's true.
There's no rule. They could run with what they've got. But generally speaking, they like to fill the spots where they are allowed to fill them. You see how that works?
Replenish the roster.
There it is. I like that. That might be the title of this podcast. But yeah, we found out this week that one of their top targets for the 2018 class is not coming to Kansas. Romeo Langford, in a ceremony that you know, maybe outdid the birth of the royal baby in terms of hype and attention and all of that madness.
Maybe that could be his new nickname in Indiana.
The royal baby?
The royal baby.
That's not bad. I like it. We'll get that up there. We'll talk to some people. But yeah, it was a way too long ceremony at his high school on Monday evening. And as expected, Romeo picked Indiana, in-state Indiana. He hails from New Albany, Indiana, and, you know, good for him. I mean,
yeah.
Here's the thing that I say good for him for. Vandy, KU, and Indiana were his finalists. Vandy's got some things going on. They've got a really nice program on the way. Some young players in a pretty good class, a good young head coach in Bryce Drew, and then Kansas is Kansas. So I don't think he could have gone wrong with any of the picks, really. But he obviously picked Indiana because it's his home state, and there's a lot to like for that. But the reason I say good for him beyond that is I don't know what the season's going to be. They may not make the tournament. They may win it all. Who knows? But the reason I say good for him is because whether it was his father or a team of consultants or Romeo himself, these guys played this thing perfectly. I mean, the attention that was on him really for the last several months, not just this week, has been enormous. And what happened was you had all these guys in the top five, top 10 of the 2018 class basically commit early. And some of them signed early back in November. Well, this guy didn't. And he played it and dragged it out all the way to the end. He had all the talk on him, all the spotlight on him. I mean, there are, you know, he got this title, right, of top remaining unsigned player.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the same as the top player.
Right.
Right? So all of a sudden, it became that, though. Because when you're the only one left that's at least ranked that high, you find yourself kind of getting that treatment as the top dog. And, right. and so I think they played it perfectly. I think he got that kind of attention. You saw people reacting to this decision and this announcement as, you know, one of the biggest recruitments in years, one of the top prospects in years. He's not even the top guy in his class. So why are we saying that? I don't understand that, except for the fact that him and his family played it perfectly to get that attention and that spotlight. And, you know, whether they were doing that on purpose or just waiting, you know, naturally and really just trying to make a decision,
yeah.
either way, it worked out brilliantly.
He's a consensus top 10 guy, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
That probably drove a lot of it, right?
Yeah.
Just that somebody of that ilk was still available at this point in the recruiting process.
No doubt.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I seemed to get the sense from talking to you the past couple of weeks that KU was a long shot, at
yeah.
least at this stage. Was there ever a point where it seemed like maybe that those odds were better of him actually getting here and them having this just crazy freshman class coming in next year? Not that it's not going to be bad because
right.
he's not coming, but it would have been pretty insane if he had.
Yeah, I did the math a few weeks ago, and as it ended up with Rivals anyway, they have the number 6 class in the country in 2018, and I think if they had gotten him, they would have had the number 2 class. That's a pretty big jump.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right. I mean, you still have Devon Dotson, you still have Quentin Grimes, you still have David McCormick, and you have a young man from Kansas City who I think is a sleeper, who went from unranked to 141st and a you know, 0 stars to 3 stars just by virtue of Kansas getting a commitment from him and signing him. So Ochai Agbaji, he has a chance to be a guy that you look back and you go, wow, how was he ranked so low? But anyway, to your point, I think there was. I do think Kansas was in it. I mean, most people you'll hear from will say Romeo to Indiana was done a year ago. Like, forget about it. Like, this was all just a dog and pony show, ho-hum, ho-hum. I don't know if that's true. Probably some of that's true, but I do think it would have been tough to pull him away from Indiana.
Yeah.
So probably they were the leaders a year ago. They were probably the team to beat a year ago, and they were probably going to be the odds-on favorite a year ago. But I do think KU was in it, and I think the fact that he waited might have been due to, you know, the circumstances of KU's roster. He wanted to see. You know, he never said this, but I think there was some hinting that he wanted to see, is Malik Newman going to be back? Is LeGerald Vick going to be back? If they're both gone, wow, I fit in there pretty nice. If they're both back, yeah, I don't want to mess with that. That's too crowded, you know. So I think it was a legit thing. I think KU was definitely in it. And I think, frankly, the timing of the FBI investigation and the indictment and Kansas being linked in that, I think that's when it probably ended. I think that really hurt. Obviously, Romeo's father, we've had this story online the last couple of days, but Romeo's father, Tim Langford, flat out said that on Monday night in an interview with some Indiana folks up there. Said, yeah, we didn't want him going there. We don't care how good the basketball is. Anytime you've got that kind of thing associated with your program, it's just not a good thing, and we didn't want to be a part of it. So whether that's just the father speaking or he's speaking for his son or whatever, something in between, it obviously played some kind of factor. And so I think pretty much from that day, I think that was a Tuesday, it was the day of the banquet, which might have been April 10th or something like that. Pretty much when that hit, when that news came out, I think they were done right there. And you know, Romeo said a couple of days after that it didn't hurt him, and that he wouldn't hold that against Kansas. And maybe he didn't. I don't know. You know, maybe he would have made this decision anyway to go to Indiana. But I think they were probably in it to that point. And then once that happened, it that's when the whole long shot idea became a reality because, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, that's a really, really bad timing thing.
You know, now that Langford is going to Indiana and Grimes obviously is coming to KU,
yeah,
I think this might be like the ideal scenario for both those guys because both of them are projected like top 10 picks next year.
Right.
And both of them are going to be like the guy on the wing. big for time. Their team.
Big time.
You know, so both of them could have phenomenal freshman years and kind of be jockeying for a position on those mock drafts all year for the next 12 months.
Well, obviously that's what Indiana wants from Romeo, right? I mean, they want him to – they you know, I'm not trying to speak for Archie Miller or anything like that, but this just doesn't happen very often. I mean, you get a kid like that –
like Eric Gordon probably the last big name recruit that they got
maybe so. I mean they were talking about this being like a Damon Bailey thing, right? And he was an Indiana State high school legend. He ended up playing for the Hoosiers. His career was okay, pretty good really, but I think because of the expectations that were on him, I think most people would probably look back at that and say, yeah, he just didn't really pan out like we'd hoped, which is really tough because the expectations were so high. And I think, you know, Romeo's one of four guys in the state of Indiana who scored 3,000 points in his high school career. That's a good state. There have been some good players.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know any off the top of your head.
Let me see. Something that rhymes with Larry Bird.
Larry
Bird.
That does rhyme. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, does rhyme perfectly. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, Indiana and Archie Miller are going to want Romeo to basically do what Trey Young did at Oklahoma. And I don't know if they're going to give him the freedom to shoot from 76 feet. And, you know, I don't know that they're going to have him play the same way. But they want him to be a high-impact, high-volume scorer, the face of the program, and you know, give them that kind of lift. I mean, you remember. Everybody remembers. When Oklahoma was on ESPN, that little graphic at the bottom would have Trey Young and keep track of how many points he.
I don't know. It'd be tough for Indiana to duplicate that, I think, just because.
Or anyone.
Yeah, or anybody. And I wonder how it would work if Trey Young in Oklahoma hadn't like got off to that hot start in November and December. Would we have ever had this hysteria on ESPN over?
I doubt it.
His scoring and his three pointers and his numbers and tracking it. And
I doubt it, and I hope not. Yeah. You know, I mean, it wasn't the kid's fault, but it was a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. I think at some point in November or December, everybody decided he was the next Steph Curry.
Yeah,
and Steph Curry is obviously a two-time NBA MVP.
Right.
So, you know, people get excited. I think people and fans in general maybe are more enamored with smaller guys who are able to score at such a high volume and do these incredible things. You know, because maybe it's more relatable.
Like, that's
I can go play pickup and fire from 30 feet, and I can do that too.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you can't.
Well, right. You've seen all those videos, right, where guys try to dunk from the free throw line on the 8-foot goal. And, and they can't even do that, but they put their tongue out and they yell Jordan while they're flying through the air, or quote-unquote flying through the air. You know that. So, yeah, it's easier to do that, even though it's really, really hard still. So, but back to your original point, I think that's obviously what Indiana wants, and I think the fact that Kansas now has to move forward without Langford, they're going to look at Quentin Grimes and say, all right, it's your time. This is what we want you to do. And I think that put them in a win-win situation because I think Quentin Grimes is such a good dude and a solid, solid young man that he wanted Romeo to come here and play with him.
Yeah.
They're good friends. They play well together. They have fun together. All of that stuff. He absolutely
helps your chances of winning a national title.
Exactly.
That's the whole point of it.
So he wanted him here, but I think now that he's not coming, I think Quentin's like, okay, well, here I go. It's my time, and I'm sure Bill Self will have that kind of conversation with him. And you're right. I mean, they need a guy to be able to do that. And if his performance in this All-Star circuit that followed his high school season, you know, the Jordan Brand game and the McDonald's game and the Nike Hoop Summit and things like that, if his performance there at those games is any indication of where he's at and where he's headed, they're going to be just fine because he was terrific in those games, and he did it in sort of an under-the-radar sort of way. A lot of the attention, of course, at those games was on Romeo because he was still unsigned. He was still available. But other guys got a lot of attention at those games too, and all he did was, you know, go out and put up 16 and have 8 assists and things like that. So I think he is absolutely in that position that you're talking about. I also think this is and I posted a blog about this earlier, I think that Marcus Garrett is a big winner in this too, because I think if Romeo came, Romeo's starting. And so is Quentin Grimes, and then you have to have a true point guard, and that's probably Devon Dotson, another freshman. So there would have been no room to start Garrett unless you play four guards again, which I don't think they'll plan to do as long as Udoka comes back.
Right.
So that would have put Garrett kind of in a similar role to what he had this year. Obviously, he'd be a year experienced, you know, a different player in his own right. I'm sure he's going to work on his game in the offseason and all that, but he still would have been a bench guy and coming off and playing a role and all that. Now, I think Garrett starts, and I don't see any way around that unless they go land some incredible, you know, last minute guy with that open spot. But there aren't very many guys like that out there. So I think Garrett's a big winner too, and I think that's going to help his motivation over the summer, help his confidence, and really give him a situation where he goes, okay, it's, you know, we need Quentin to do this, but we need me to do this too, and it's my time now. And you know, you had guys like Devontae Graham or Svi who kind of had to wait for that, right? They junior year, definitely part of it, but senior year, a huge part of it. This is a kid, Marcus Garrett, who basically played a huge role this year because they didn't have any bodies. And then, bam, the very next year, there is no waiting. It's his time now. So I think there's two big winners, and I think Grimes will benefit tremendously from it because there will not be any question about, well, is it Romeo's night or is it my night? How do we play together? Do we share this or you know, whatever? When he gets the ball, he can just go do what he can do, and that's all they're going to ask him to do and be aggressive and all of that. And then Garrett is a winner because of the role. I mean, you get a much bigger role, I think.
I haven't had as much opportunity to watch Grimes as you have, but obviously getting a top 10 guy is nothing new for KU. It happens every year, I'm
right,
sure.
Right.
But I mean, as far as a wing scorer type of player, does Grimes remind you of anybody? And I guess it doesn't have to be from KU.
Right.
But yeah. Does he remind you of anybody recently?
Yeah. Man, that's a good question because you know what he is? He's aggressive. He's smooth. He's so unselfish. And I think one of the things I talked with Paul Biancardi, who's ESPN's ESPN 100 recruiting director, and he called a lot of those All-Star games for ESPN. And I talked with him recently, and he said that the one thing Grimes needs to do is figure out how to be that alpha and that dog, you know, and really become more vocal and more aggressive and more assertive and all of those things. So in that regard, you know, he's not there yet. But I think knowing, again, that's why the timing of this is so good, because he has a whole offseason now. He has a whole summer now to move forward with that knowledge of, okay, this is what I need to do. This is who I need to become. But to answer your question, man, I don't know. I think that, you know, nobody really comes to mind immediately. And I wish I had some more time to think about it, because I do think he's a combination of a lot of players. You know, I think that he is a combo guard in the purest sense. He can handle the ball very well. He can set guys up. His vision is terrific. But as far as attacking stuff, you know, he's not Tyshawn Taylor because he's not that kind of attacking guard yet, but close to that. He probably shoots it a little better than Taylor, at least coming in, but he's not probably quite as quick either. So there you go. There's a player he reminds me nothing of, and I've compared them now.
But you think he'll play off the ball, though? Obviously Taylor
right,
is handling
right,
the ball.
Exactly right. Yeah, no, I don't think he'll be... you know, I think he's capable of doing what they've had, which is that interchangeable parts in their backcourt.
Yeah.
Knowing, like last season, where, hey, if Mason gets it or if Graham gets it, they're going. If Malik gets it or Graham gets it, they're going. And that was probably more true with that 16-17 team, right? When you had the two-point
right,
guards
right.
out there. Plus you had Jackson and Svi and Vic and those guys. So... his all-around game is really good, though. I mean, there are very few weaknesses. He has to shoot it better from distance, and I think that's the one thing that this team really needs to address, you know, and whether that means they add a piece and that's how they address it, or guys just get better. Sometimes that can happen too. You know, Charlie Moore shot it okay at Cal. Not great, but okay. Grimes was in the high 30s as a high school senior. You know, Devon Dotson, not a great shooter, but in the 30s. Garrett, he has to work on his shot. And you know, but he shot it well in high school. And a big reason he did was because guys backed off of him. that he was so aggressive, so dangerous off the dribble going to the rim that teams played off of him, and so he had to knock down open shots, and he did. You know, he almost averaged a triple-double during his senior year in Texas. So
he was the Ben Simmons of Texas.
There you go. That's exactly what they said. That's exactly what they said. So, yeah, so I think that, you know, if one of those guys that we mentioned or you know, maybe even a Sam Cunliffe or Ochai or somebody like that can really develop an outside shot too here in this off season, then there's going to be a role for them, because this is a team that for 3 years in a row now has broken the school record for three-pointers made. They're not going to do that next year. Even if they have the freedom to do it, they just won't. I mean, you're talking about some of the most prolific three-point shooters in Kansas basketball history that are walking out the door. Graham and Svi certainly are both top 10, top 5 guys all time, and it helps that they played 4 years. But if Malik Newman had played 4 years, he'd probably be up there with them. So you're replacing a lot, and I think that asking just these freshmen to do that, you're going to be asking a lot of Quentin Grimes, and I think he's going to need someone else to shoot the ball. But you know, they'll learn how to play for self. They'll understand that the best way to make three-pointers is to get open three-pointers that you can take.
Yeah.
Because open shots have a tendency to go in. Guarded shots do not. My instructional video will be on our website in a couple of months, and you guys can take a look at that and become much better basketball players. So anyway, that kind of leads us to the last thing, and it does have to do with what they're going to do with that last spot. There's a player from Albany named Joe Cremo, which I absolutely love that name. I don't necessarily love his highlight films. I don't think he's a bad player by any means, but you know, I there are some holes in his game for sure. But the name, I mean, I'm sign me up for that. I'd love to meet this guy. I'd love to cover this guy. He's a graduate transfer from Albany. He's played 3 years there and will be eligible to play wherever he ends up. He's had a ton of attention already. And I think he was, you know, he's a guy that was looking for a challenge, looking for somewhere else to go for his last year of eligibility and to just see how high he can go. And he was a legacy type of kid at Albany. I think two generations of family members before him had played ball at Albany. So that was part of the reason he ended up there. The other part of it was, let's face it, he wasn't a 4 or 5-star prospect, so you're not going to Duke or Kansas or Carolina or Kentucky if that's the reality. So a pretty nice career, though. I mean, he played in 100 games, started 67 of them. He shot 39% from three-point range 1 year, 46 or a little bit more than that this past year.
46 is pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good, yeah.
Pretty good.
Well, and here's the thing about this 46%. He was a focal point for opposing defenses. You know, this was a guy that it wasn't like he was just spotting up in the corner and benefiting from Devontae Graham or Frank Mason kicking it out to him. He was a focal point, and he still shot 46%. So, you know, he's going to visit, according to Jeff Goodman of ESPN. He's visiting Villanova this week, and he's visiting Kansas this weekend.
Two pretty good choices.
That's tough. Yeah, that's tough. KU's, once again, KU's got to battle with Villanova and see if they can come out on top. But there are a lot more teams involved. I mean, Duke's looked at him. A ton of Big 12 teams have. There have been a lot of, you know, mid-major types that are also interested in him. I'm sure for him it's going to come down to fit. You know, he's from the East Coast, so going to a place like Villanova where it's only 4 hours from where you've been the last 3 years or really your entire life versus the 19-hour trip out to Lawrence, that's a little different. That could factor in, but KU could use him. Now, I think what's important about remembering that needs to be remembered here is that as much as KU could use him, it's not like he's going to play 25, 30 minutes a game, right? I mean, there are enough guards, there are enough perimeter players on this roster where KU could be fine even if they don't add a single player. But what this guy could do is he could obviously help your three-point shooting, and I think that's when he gets in the game. Who knows how much that would be way down the road. We couldn't even guess that yet. But I think if they were able to add him, what he could do as much as anything, whether he plays 5 minutes or 15 minutes or no minutes, is help him in practice. You know, that's a guy who there are a lot of teams that are shooting the heck out of the ball now. And so this is a guy you could put on the red team, and he can push your starting defense and your first team and your rotation guys and force them to guard the deep three-pointer or a guy who can light it up and that kind of thing. So, you know, I think obviously if they could add him, it'd be a nice pickup no matter what happens. But there's no guarantees they're going to get him by any means. It's great they're getting a visit from him, but let's be honest. If you've played 3 years at Albany and Kansas wants you to visit, aren't you going?
Yeah, obviously.
I would definitely do that. So, have you read or heard anything else about him?
Just a little bit from, you know, the stuff that you had posted earlier in the week. But to your point, I mean, if he's a 46% three-point shooter, that fills a need for that team next year.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I mean, he would almost have to play at least 10 or 15 minutes a game, because who else are you going to call for off the bench to be your spot-up shooter?
Sure,
you know?
Sure, yeah.
And I mean, I don't, if you've already played 3 years of college basketball, I know Albany's not at a high level or anything, but what do you average, like 16 points a game?
Yeah, almost 18.
And he's a college veteran? That's a nice piece.
Very much so, especially on this team that will be very young. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about your leadership next year will be Marcus Garrett, a sophomore, Udoka Azubuike, a young junior.
Yeah, because he played, 11 games his freshman year?
Right. Yeah. He's barely played a complete season in 2 years. And then Mitch Lightfoot, who has been around 3 years, but he also hasn't played a ton of minutes and may not play a ton of minutes this year. So that's your leadership core. Joe Cremo might not unseat any of those guys if he came, but he would enhance that, right? He'd be another voice, a veteran guy, like you say. And just, he's 21 years old, just maturity-wise, as just a human being.
Guy's older than Speed.
There you go. Yeah, good stuff. So, Ben, any final thoughts before we get out of here? What do you want to talk about real quick? We got a couple minutes left. Anything?
Should we talk about the NBA playoffs and renowned former KU player Joel Embiid?
We can.
And how he just torched Boston in game one.
Yeah, you and I talked about that at your desk, and I was worried about you. I wondered how you were going to do with that. How were you? You said you didn't even know how you would react.
No,
because you're a Celtics. Let's be in case people don't know, Benton's a diehard Celtics fan. I'm talking like, where's the socks that have the parquet floor as the pattern instead of Argyle? They're parquet, and has been for a long time. He's not a bandwagon Celtics fan. He's a diehard Celtics fan. So. The only thing I know about you that you like more than the Celtics, other than your lovely wife and daughter, is Joel Embiid.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is really a tough spot for you.
Hilarious.
Well, you also have a lot of jerseys.
I used to buy jerseys when I was a younger lad.
You love Jordans.
Love Jordans. Still buy Jordans.
And you also love Trent Green. one of those jerseys that you have.
Oh yeah.
So
that might be one of the last Chiefs jerseys I ever purchased. Hey, Pro Bowler Trent Green.
There you go. And now you can buy this. What's his name? Breland Speaks. You can buy that jersey. They just drafted him.
Yeah, probably that's not.
You're
gonna
not going to do that. Okay.
To be honest with you.
Okay. Well, whatever. Just trying to help you out. But anyway, how'd it go for you?
Well, for me personally, you're right. I mean, like. Celtics, I've DVR'd every Celtics game this playoffs and every Sixers game this playoffs just because I wasn't able to watch them live, you know?
Right.
So when they inevitably met in the second round, I was kind of like, oh, I wonder who I'll actually end up rooting for, because I'm cheering for Boston when they're playing.
Right.
And that was the case.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, I would say it was tempered.
Yeah.
But it was almost like perfect because the Celtics won.
And Joel had a great game.
Cooked,
yeah. Right.
You know?
Perfect.
Fun to watch.
Perfect.
I'm a winner on both accounts.
Did you view it as a win-win? Like, were you like, well, obviously, whichever team wins the series, I'm going to keep rooting for, so I can't lose?
I didn't even think about it that way, but I would be.
Now it is, yeah.
I would be pulling for either of those teams going forward.
Yeah.
Those are my two favorite teams in the league
right now. Right.
Just because the Embiid factor and Simmons. Ben Simmons is awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, watching those two, and, I mean, their future is ridiculous.
Sure. So, and those are two guys that could possibly land Kawhi Leonard if that goes south in San Antonio. I mean, that's legitimately possible, right?
Yeah. I wonder how much KU fans – I feel like it's mixed with the KU crowd. They either are like, Embiid didn't give us anything. He was injured.
Right.
He didn't get to play in the tournament. Or they love him.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably 80-20. Yeah. I mean, people, it's really easy to love a guy who is, A, that lovable.
Right.
But B, you know, the talk of the league in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And fearless and, you know, ready to go after Rihanna and ready to go after Russell Westbrook in a whole different way. You know, and all these things that everything falls in between there too. So I think it's 80-20 and probably growing. I mean,
yeah.
In 3 or 4 years, you're not going to find a single KU fan that does anything other than say, he's one of the greatest Jayhawks of all time.
Right.
Yep. I don't know if that's true, but
like the as great a career as Paul Pierce had, if Embiid stays healthy, he might blow it out of the water.
Sure, sure.
He might be an MVP of the league.
Sure,
he might win multiple championships. So that's pretty cool for KU. You haven't had a guy like that since Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, so. Right. Great point. And it's funny because when Wiggins got drafted, obviously number one overall.
Yeah.
That was the last draft that I covered. I covered 5 in a row, which was awesome, and haven't been back since. But, I mean, I remember asking him there in New Jersey, you know, are you ready? Are you ready to take the torch from Paul Pierce and be sort of that Jayhawk that this program hasn't really had at that level? And he said, yeah, it's a big deal, and I'm absolutely ready for it. I don't think anyone could have possibly thought that Embiid would pass him this quickly.
Yeah.
And especially to do it without playing. You know, I mean,
right. He missed 2 full years.
Yeah, I mean, how many games has he played total? Has he even played 82 total?
Yeah, it's like 90 something.
Okay.
Regular season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
because he got 31 his
that's right.
First year.
Right.
Which was his third year.
Right, yeah.
And then he got 60 some this past year.
Okay. So he's finally played a full season.
Yeah.
Only took him 4 years to
right.
do it. But yeah, I mean, if anybody had known that, how would you not pick him number one?
Right. Well, the thing is, I think that there was actually some momentum for him going number one that year, but then he got injured.
The back injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. If that never happened.
He might have gone number one to Cleveland, and he might have already won multiple championships with LeBron or something.
I love that answer.
Could have been a totally different league.
And LeBron would not be going anywhere.
No.
They would just ride it out with those two. Oh, my gosh.
And would Kyrie want to leave?
He probably Embiid still would have, let's be honest. I know he's your Celtic now, but he probably still would have. Because why did he want to leave in the first place? What a clown. No, I'm kidding. I love that guy. I wish he wouldn't hurt.
I do too.
It would make it a much more interesting postseason for sure. So, but yeah, real quick, any other Jayhawks doing well this postseason? I mean,
it's pretty much Embiid. Wiggins got bounced in the first round.
Right.
They were in a tough situation as the 8 seed going against that Houston.
Yeah, they competed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they didn't come close to winning, but they competed. You know, I still like their long-term outlook, clearly.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler is kind of the key to that.
I
don't know, because at some point they're going to have to – well, Jimmy Butler might make the decision for him. I was going to say you might have to choose between Wiggins and Butler.
Right.
Because they're kind of similar players. Butler's obviously the better of the two.
Oh, well, that's it. I think you would pick Butler.
Right, but they've locked up Wiggins long-term because he signed that extension before the season.
Not very tradable, is he?
I don't think so.
Not with that contract and then with
not with his shot selection, and people are like, you look so great defensively sometimes, and then sometimes you're
not even
engaged.
Play. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Wiggins has a ways to go, and he could turn into – he could finally meet that number one potential at some point.
Sure.
But I don't think he's done it yet.
I agree. Still fairly young.
Yeah.
That helps. But
yeah, for sure.
But by now he should be turning the corner to figuring it out. So anyway, interesting stuff for sure. We'll keep you posted as things move on here at the KU Sports Hour. Plenty of draft stuff coming up. Obviously, recruiting never stops, but we'll stay on top of that as KU does have one spot still to give in the class of 2018. So that's all the time we have now for this KU Sports Hour. Thanks to my main man. You might have heard that at the beginning. If you didn't, go back and listen to it. I promise I said it. My main man, Benton Smith. Good stuff, Benton. Thanks for joining today. And I'm going to saddle you in the future, and you're going to do a lot more of this. So bring a water next time, and I don't want you to get parched.
Stay hydrated.
Good stuff. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you guys next time on another episode of the KU Sports Hour.